Belgium Talks is produced by Legal & General Investment Management, providing you with the investment ideas we just can't stop talking about. This podcast assumes a certain level of knowledge of financial markets and is intended for investment professionals.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. In this podcast, I've got two experts here to talk about technology, but specifically about technology and member engagement. This is a very important part of DC's perspective at the moment because we've got people coming through the DC system and maybe not making any decisions, maybe not being engaged. And as the FCA recently highlighted in their retirement outcome review, that most retirees take no pension guidance whatsoever. This may have serious consequences for their retirement options. So with me is Alexandra Miles, who is a solution strategy manager at Legal and General Investment Management and Solutions. And I've also got Stuart Murphy, head of DC Client Management. So what I hope to do from this is draw out both the investment perspective and the insights into the uses of technology from Al, but also from Stuart, what are clients thinking and how are they responding to these challenges and how are we helping them respond to these challenges? So maybe just to kick off, Al, in a nutshell, why is this so important? Why is this? I mean, we hear endless things about we must engage more with members. Why should we bother?
Thanks, Simon. So engaging with members really is so important, and it's even more important for Generation DC, which is the generation that's going to rely on their DC pot to keep them in the style they're accustomed to in their retirement years.
Does that, sorry, just to interrupt, does that mean people who are entirely dependent on DC, so there's not going to be other, we assume there aren't other areas of savings?
So Generation DC will be relying on their DC pot, and so generations at the moment have can rely or will have on a household level some level of DB pension.
Okay.
And also a property. So they either own their own property or also have a second home that they let out. So Generation DC, the generation growing up now, many of those people will have a mortgage well into retirement. There's a very different shift, and the number of people who are owning their own house when they come to retire and relying on that possibly to fund them through retirement or possibly fund their care costs if those crop up later in retirement will be minimal. So it's really important about engaging with those members so that they fully understand what's in their DC pot at the moment, what contributions they're making to their DC pot, can they do anything to either increase those or enhance the benefit that they're provided by their company so that they maximise that, so that they do end up with as much as they can when they hit retirement. So engaging with them as early as possible is really key to that.
Got it. I mean, Stuart, just from your perspective, and you have guys out looking, working with clients all the time, I'm sure I'm right in the engagement topic comes up again and again and again. But from your perspective, isn't one of the toughest things early engagement? I mean, it's hard enough to get engaged just as they're coming up to retirement.
I think early engagement is important. I think in the conversations that we have with clients, it's more about actually engaging members with the right information at the right times in the journey.
Right.
So to use a very simple example, there's no point giving information to somebody that's 25 years of age about annuities because it's just not relevant to them at that point. What's relevant to them at that age is can I afford to pay contributions in? What's my student debt looking like? How does a pension scheme work? So engagement early is important, but I think the key for me is what I've just said there, really, which is it's the right information at the right times that's easily accessible, easy to view. And let's be honest about it, from the work that we've done, it's short and simple. Members don't want to spend a long time with this. They want quick, snappy engagement at the right points.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting, and now what you were saying, that it's almost working backwards from today's generation and what's happening now for people retiring. It's going to be a very different picture from, as you said, Generation DC saving now, and where retirement, whatever retirement looks like, by the way, but let's still call it retirement, is going to be coming up many years into the future. I guess that this point about starting early, technology is the sort of center plank of that, because everything is much more digital nowadays.
So the way that people are digesting information is changing. And I say Generation DC are, they use their phones a hell of a lot more. Mm. They engage with things, so the YouTube generation. Right. So watching short videos, they find that a far better way to access information rather than reading a 50-page benefit statement,
for example. So that's your point, Stuart, about you've got to keep it short and relevant.
And that was the member research that we did. Basically, that's what members were saying to us. Don't make me read content. Don't let me even, you know, digitally go through and have to work through online content. Just show me. If I want to know something about something completely unrelated, I'll go onto YouTube and I'll watch a quick video. And what they said loud and clear was, well, I can't do that with pensions. And that's where the video technology comes in brilliantly with the whole pensions journey. Simple click. Golden rule is less than 2 minutes. So your video needs to be less than 2 minutes. If a member starts to watch a video, in our experience, you've got them, because up to 98% of people will stay with it till the end, because it's short and it's delivering the right information.
And it's also about showing them the impact of possibly reviewing their contributions, so they understand that changing their contribution level, for example, can have an impact of X and have the two DC pots at retirement, say. So they've got an idea about the magnitude of the decision that they make. Be making.
And this is really interesting, because I guess that, you know, we've all heard ad nauseum the sort of people banging on about, we must better communicate. But you're talking about really quite specific communication here. You're talking about video engagement. You're talking about very tailored, you know, time short, simple messages that speak directly to the saver, the individual DC member. Is that correct? Yes.
Yeah, that's correct.
So in that, then, we'll get into the sort of what exactly we've been doing in that area in a second. But I guess that I'm still kind of not struggling, but I'm thinking about this dynamic between people who are coming up to retirement and the FCA's point about taking no guidance whatsoever, and almost looking at that as a, well, we definitely don't want that to happen in the future. So your point about DC generation is how can we change that dynamic? How can we get people to be engaged? And is there something where, you know, if my attention span is really short, you're coming in with a very specific point around save more. Or start saving, or whatever the message is. But I'm not even thinking about that. I've got worries about debt and about, you know, starting off a career. And there's a lot of stuff in my head that is absolutely nothing to do with saving for my retirement. How do you overcome that?
So I think for me, it's about starting that conversation with members. So giving them a bit of information to enable them to take that further and have those conversations with their pension scheme. And for them to feel that they can have those conversations knowledgeable with a few base facts about what they've currently got, so they can take that forward. And we find a lot at the moment that people are burying their head in the sand and putting off reaching out and finding out information about their pension scheme because it's just too bewildering. Yeah. So actually breaking it down into a few chunks of useful information enables them to then take that and run with it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I think, Sam, if I could add to that, I think this is where financial well-being has a role to play as well. So lots of large organisations are putting well-being programmes in. A key part of that is around the financial side. And as a provider, we're looking to support from a financial well-being perspective. But members need to be able to take care of the day-to-day priorities, get them straight in order to be able to save for the longer term. So if people have got debt issues, if they've got student debt, if they're looking to get on the the housing ladder, if they, you know, are they looking at short-term savings versus long-term savings? It's giving them the tools and the easy access to that information, which, if you like, clears the mind into a position where we can then engage, as Al says, from a contribution perspective from pensions. If we can't help members get the basics right, yeah. what hope yeah. have we got of engaging them around the pension contribution?
Yeah. And I mean, that resonates. I mean, I know you and I have been on a podcast talking about this before, but it really, thank you, because that answers my question really about how do you engage people who, you know, have got other things on their mind, other issues. And I suppose another question around this is, you know, maybe reflecting back to you that this thing about relevant and probably, I think from what you're saying, timely communication is giving them just enough data and information to be able to have a sensible conversation, as you say, and then move on to whatever else is going on in their life. It's not like it's a huge issue and you've got to spend hours doing this.
Also about making it easy for the members to actually make that action, that right. call to action.
Right.
So I think we're going to come on to talk about the specifics of the personalised video benefit statements that we've now launched. And it's all about, at the end of that video, a member has a simple click through in order to make that change, if okay. they so wish.
Okay, well, let's move on to that, because, you know, this is all good in theory, but then what's the proof of the pudding? What have we done?
Okay, I'll perhaps pick that one up. So we've created a range of member videos from when a member comes into a scheme and joins, from a welcome video, working on a video, or we've developed a video that allows members to consider pot consolidation. We have a video that targets, if you like, members at 50 and above to start thinking about their options coming into retirement, picking up that earlier point. The key ones we've done in anger so far have been the video pension benefit statements, which we've run with a number of clients now, and we continue to roll them out. The results are pretty impressive, and I think it's fair to say they shocked us in terms of how good they really were. I think, Alan, your piece, you talk about RBS and some of the sort of the click-through rates. I mean, in terms of emails going out where we've run the video pension benefit statement, you will get circa 40% of people will read the email.
They is
will
that pretty good?
And that's 100% plus on what you'd expect an open rate to be on an email linked to a pension. So, yes, it's extremely good. And then the click-through rate, again, is pretty impressive in terms of the number of people that will click through. Mm. Once you've got them click through, you've got them. And this is where the numbers get quite scary, really. So of members that click through, 98% will watch the video, and 95% will watch it to the end, or 95% plus will watch it to the end.
Wow. Yep.
We recently ran another video statement with another client, and the click-through rates there, 99% of members watch the video to the end. And Al mentioned about you've got to give them a call to action, a way of responding. 42% of people that watch the video clicked through to review their contributions, which is just off the scale, really, in terms of engagement. When you think about members getting paper benefit statements through the door, probably get filed away, might prompt some to go and have a look at contributions, but you're not going to get 42% of people with a paper statement thinking, do you know what, I'm going to go and review my contributions. So it's really early days, and we're adapting how these work, but there's no doubt that they do work.
And what's the secret sauce here? Is it sounds like it's personal, it's personalised, it's what you were saying, Al, about give me sufficient data and then make it, hi Simon, this is about you, and a call to action at the end about what okay, great, what can I do about that?
Yeah, so I mentioned the member research before. That came back with an interesting line that said about using emotion, make it emotional in terms of your engagement with me. And we sort of pondered for many months as to what that really meant, and revisited it. And what the emotion meant was make it real to me, personalise it to me. So make the content relevant for my stage in life, and then make the information in there relevant about where I am now. And contributions, how much you're going to get in retirement is relevant to that member. It makes it real and it draws them in, and that's the emotional tie that makes them actually listen, watch and do something.
Al, I mean, just kind of pulling back from that a little bit, I think in terms of the way you were talking about this and in this article was what right at the start trustees and providers need to ask. And you give a couple of examples here about what's the ideal outcome for the scheme. And how do you set measurable targets? And I mean, what I'm hearing is RBS, there absolutely were specific measurable results from this. So this sounds like a repeatable process. Is that right? I mean, can we roll that out to others?
Yeah, I think the idea is the clients that go down this route that they'd have a regular rerun of these personalised video benefits, as possibly on an annual basis. On your annual basis, and then sitting alongside your personalised video benefit statements, there's more generic video statements on a particular topic that can be rolled out to clients as and when it's deemed appropriate. And to your point about whether we're rolling this out to other clients, we definitely are.
So actually, this is literally the journey. I know we always use that phrase, and I'm guilty as anybody else, but not just a one-off exercise, but actually something that could be repeated, so that I suppose from the company point of view, they can see the accumulated benefit of what that member's doing. But actually, for me individually, if I'm prompted or I have a chance to review where I'm at, you know, relevant to what's going on in my life, but where I'm at any stage, that produces quite an interesting flow of information for both the member and also the scheme, presumably.
Yeah, and I think it's important to hammer home the message several times. So rerunning the videos on an annual basis and targeting members, as you say, as they go through that journey to retirement with the information that they need in order to make the decisions at that point in time is quite key to this.
Yeah. I mean, is there a point at which you feel... How do you measure success, I suppose? I mean, is it just... an awful lot of people click through and the call to action? Is it ultimately how many people feel that they've neared or achieved their goals?
I think there's lots of different ways to measure this. So you have got the real upfront easy things to measure, the number of people that click through, watch the video, take action, and you can set targets around numbers you would hope to increase contributions and drive it up. I think you can look at the registration rates for the online manager account. So if people have watched a video, they've reviewed it, they're engaged, they'll register for the site and they'll start to actively manage is another way. But the ultimate end goal that everyone is in here is ensuring that people, as we said right at the start of this podcast, are saving enough to give them the level of retirement income they need. That everything we do in between has that end goal, and that's the ultimate measure, isn't it? That people are getting to retirement
Absolutely.
In a far healthier state in terms of both understanding and the DC pots that they'll have.
Yeah.
We got some really great feedback from members when we did the run with RBS from the members that were being sent this video. Really encouraging feedback. It's the first time they'd actually properly understood
Fantastic.
What they currently had and the impact of their contributions on what they could have at retirement.
Well, that's great, because, you know, this is, as you both said, this is all about the member and helping them achieve a point where they feel that they are able to retire, you know. And it sounds, I mean, this sounds like a success story, and amongst the sort of ocean of noise around communication and engagement. And I mean, do you see that this being really a kind of tool or series of tools, perhaps these videos that evolve as we get more information?
Yeah, most definitely. You can drive out sort of rich information in terms of how people interact with them, information in terms of the member behaviour and they review their contributions. I think an interesting way of looking at it, I think, is that we talk a lot, or we've talked about engagement for a long time within the DC market, and we talk about member journey. There's a second reference to a journey today, Simon. So we talk about the member journey, and I think ultimately every member will follow the member journey, whether they're engaged, engaged, partially engaged, or not engaged at all. They will be auto-enrolled, they will contribute, and they will come to a point where they'll draw the benefits. That's the member journey. What videos and personalisation and technology does, it's about member messaging. And member messaging is different to the member journey. Mm-hmm. Everyone follows the journey, and it's about not everybody will pick up the key messages, and that's where the challenge and that's where the fun is, really. Mm-hmm. That's where we can make technology really get members interested and engaged in that journey that they're on, kicking and screaming whether they like it or not, mm. basically. Mm.
I think it's also about bringing pensions in out of the cold and having members think about their pensions alongside other savings that they might have. So I know there's steps towards, through the use of online banking, yes. showing members their yes. pension yes. alongside their other online banking account details, ISAs that they might have, so that members are constantly reminded that they do have a pension and they do have ownership over it, and they can make an impact through the decisions that they make about their pension on what it possibly could be like when they get to retirement.
Okay, well, I think that's a great note to end this podcast on. And just to say finally that making a statement how technology can boost member engagement is out. So if you want to read more about the topic that we've been discussing today, please do read that. And just finally to thank both Al and Stuart for what is very interesting talk around how do we make technology work for individuals. Fantastic. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks, Simon.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcasts app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookouts for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. And to find more great content from Legal & General Investment Management, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.